Hey, yeah. Leander.
Yeah.
Before you say anything sexist or racist, you should know that we're live streaming this episode and people are listening at this very moment.
Okay. It's about to launch into a racist diatribe.
Yeah, I know. That's what people don't know about Leander is he starts every episode with a really racist diatribe. Welcome to the Cullcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah. I'm here with my friends and Apple experts, Leander Caney.
Hey, Airfun.
Buster Hine.
Hey, man.
That was so dry, guys.
I know.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Well, at least I didn't mispronounce your names, only my own.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah, though. It's a good thing I didn't make Leander say my name, though, because he's been calling me Barfon.
Yeah.
And Buster, you missed it. He did it again last episode, because apparently in his mind, we've become the same person.
Dude, I mean, it's pretty close anyway. So.
But it really isn't to either of our names. I want to mention that this episode of the Cultcast is supported by Squarespace. Squarespace, the beautiful and intuitive website publishing platform that allows anyone to create personal web pages, blogs, photo galleries. And now, actually, they have a whole e-commerce solution that they gave me a demo of, and it looks really cool. So if you're looking to set up an easy, breezy e-commerce website, you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. We're going to tell you a little bit more about them. But you can check them out now. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast, and you can sign up for a free trial for free. No credit card information required. You can just give them your email address, get started building a website. Guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know that now you can make your own Newton and sell it?
That sounds stupid.
No, dude. Well, Apple has abandoned the trademark for the Newton on February 12th. 2013, Apple said c'est la vie to the Newton trademark, which I guess means they never plan on selling one. Yeah, Leander, this probably makes you sad, huh?
Very sad, yeah.
Because you were around when they released it.
I was around.
Yeah.
I remember. I was never a Newton fan, never had a Newton, but I was intrigued by the longevity of the Newton. Like, there was still a really strong Newton community a good decade after they... You know, they stopped developing it, and there were people who were writing drivers for some of the old hardware, and there were some like sort of proto Kickstarter projects.
Yeah.
So there were some small companies that were still selling Newton software and Newton hardware to all these diehard fans, and they kept it going and kept it updated for about a good 10 years. I wrote a story about it in Wired. I was fascinated by the fact that, you know, some people were so taken with it they refused to let it die. You know, after the company stopped supporting it.
Right.
But I guess, you know, I haven't seen one recently. I think the iPhone definitely did for it.
Yeah, I think the iPhone is kind of like the Newton reborn, right?
Yeah, right, totally.
And people actually buy the iPhone.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's a reason that Apple abandoned the trademark. Because, you know, it doesn't cost Apple anything to keep that trademark going. What is it, like $400 probably?
Well, that's weird. Why would they abandon it?
Well, that's what I thought, too. I don't know why they would abandon it. Why not just hang on to it? I mean, they're still holding on to the Next trademark.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell are they going to do with Next?
Dude, yeah. Have some cube computers, man. They're going to be awesome.
They're going to bring back the CRT.
Yep.
CRT. They're going to bring back those giant Emacs. You guys remember those things with the big CRT in them?
Yeah. No, those were beautiful.
And they're going to be Apple's Next computer. Hey, along the lines of other totally pointless news... a company called LivesOn is promising that they have a service where they'll take over your Twitter account after you die, and they'll send out tweets for you.
You know what?
You're dead. Well, hold on. It gets better. Let me just read you this blurb real fast. You guys can tell me what you think. Creative digital agency Lean Mean Fighting Machine says it's collaborating with researchers at Queen Mary University in order to create LivesOn, an app that generates your digital twin, will learn your preferences in life so that it can actually impersonate you in death. Users can appoint an executor of their LivesOn will who have the power to switch on the app if the user dies, reanimating his or her digital persona. Leander.
Read that last quote.
This is the best part. Their tagline, when your heart stops beating, you'll keep tweeting.
Oh, my God.
What?
All the ways to remain immortal. I don't think tweeting is the one that I would like to.
I wonder how accurate it is. Because, I mean, they glean all your tweets and Facebook status updates and then somehow figure out what you like. Well,
this sounds like something I should be using right now.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying.
Actually, that's a great point.
If they want it.
This is something we probably should be using right now. I mean, have you read my tweets? A robot could do it easily.
Yeah, right. Probably be a lot better.
It might actually be higher quality than what I'm getting now. They said they already had thousands of users signed up for this.
That's crazy. That's stupid.
I can't imagine that anyone would actually pay for this because, I mean, you know, when you die, you obviously don't care. But your family wants your money, right? When you die, they're like, okay, Leander's gone. How much cash has he got?
Right.
They're not going to spend your money keeping your social media presence alive.
Right. They don't want to hear idiotic tweets about
what I ate for lunch. They're like, finally, he's gone. You want me to pay to keep his tweets going?
Right. Well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like some kind of elaborate shakedown, right? So they keep it. They're actually trying to get people to pay to get it turned off.
Now that's the business model they should have gone after. So like you know, you die and they just keep your Twitter account going, and everyone's like, please God, how much money do you want?
Right. Turn this stuff off.
Let's talk a little bit about Google, which we don't actually normally talk about on our show. So I thought this was really interesting. Google added their own version of AirPlay to their YouTube iOS app. And I was playing around with it last night. And basically what it allows you to do is send video from your iPhone to any other – I don't know what the name of their technology is called. Do you guys? I don't know if they put a name to it.
Yeah. It's the open source one, right?
It's the open source one.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. Buster, don't you know what it's called?
Yeah, I did a story on it a couple like months ago, but I forgot.
But it's since left my brain. In any case, so Google has an open source alternative to AirPlay. You know, Apple's, you know, easy breezy networking technology. And it allows you to send videos from your iPhone app directly to your Xbox. And I'm almost positive we're going to see new Xboxes in the next 2 months, right? And they're going to be way more connected than the previous or the current generation Xboxes are, which are already very well connected. And it was actually really slick. So you launch the YouTube app on your Xbox, you hit a button on your iPhone, and it immediately sends that video to your big screen TV. And when I was sitting there watching it, I was thinking, does this type of open source functionality, does it kind of make Apple TV irrelevant? You know, like if you can only use your Apple devices altogether, if you have all Apple devices, it works fine. But like, you know, a lot of people are going to have the new Xbox. Do you guys think that this type of technology, you know, would make somebody be like, yeah, you know, I just don't need an Apple TV?
No.
Buster?
I mean, an Xbox is going to cost like $300. Apple TV costs $100. So, you know, if you have an iPhone or an iPad already, you're going to go with a Apple TV because it's a cheaper option for you instead of going with an Xbox and using whatever Google wants.
Yeah, but Buster, you have an Xbox.
Yeah, I do.
So you technically don't really need an Apple TV anymore.
Technically, but I hate the interface of an Xbox, so I never...
Really?
If I want to stream Netflix, I always just switch over to the Apple TV because I hate it.
Oh, interesting. I'm not a huge fan of the Xbox interface, but I think it's going to get better, especially because they're really going to be focused on turning the new Xbox, I think, into like some type of huge media streaming system.
Yeah.
And I, you know, honestly, I don't really feel like I'm in love with the Apple TV interface. Are you guys?
It's fine. It's better than Xboxes. It's definitely, it's simple and super easy to navigate through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Leander, just like an iPhone.
Leander, what were you going to say?
Yeah, well, oh my God, the Apple TV interface is good. Like, it's the best way to do Netflix for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Best Netflix interface. But, you know, AirPlay, wasn't there a lot of talk about Apple licensing AirPlay out?
Yeah, I thought there was when they first came out with it, but
yeah, there's a few, I think, but they only do music. They don't. It's like for music players. You know, I haven't seen any TVs.
Video.
Which, of course, if TV manufacturers build the Google functionality into their TVs,
yeah,
then that would kill. You know, I mean, the Apple TV. If Apple didn't license it, or if they didn't have a TV of their own that had it built in.
Well, that's a great point, and I know that a lot of television manufacturers are actually building this open source technology into their TVs. So at that point, it would let you bypass the Apple TV altogether. So you could do it through your Xbox. You can do it through your PlayStation as well. So both the major consoles are covered. And then for people that don't have a video game console, if they buy a new TV and it's already built in, at that point, I mean, unless you're really passionate about having a great interface, which I am and a lot of people are that like Apple stuff, but most people don't care, I don't think. Like, they're just fine with whatever they get provided. I wonder if it could affect, you know, Apple TV sales at that point. But to your point about licensing AirPlay, Leander, this was really interesting to me. So we see a lot of Bluetooth devices, right? And AirPlay is great. I think it's better than Bluetooth. But I was talking to somebody at CES this year, and they had a Bluetooth streaming device, and we were talking about AirPlay. And I was asking him, I was like, why don't you guys do an AirPlay device? You know, and he said, quite honestly, it's really expensive. It costs about $25 to license that technology from Apple. And he's like, yeah,
$25.
That's what he said. Yeah,
that's not that expensive.
Well, consider though in context, he said Bluetooth costs $2 or $3.
Well,
so if you're
$25 per device, right?
Per device, yeah, it's $25 a year. And he's like, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of what I said, too. I was like, that doesn't really seem that expensive. But if you're shipping a million devices.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And he said.
But doesn't Bluetooth, compress media and make it sound horrible?
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. I believe so. And the other thing about AirPlay that I like much more than Bluetooth. So I'm testing some Bluetooth speakers right now, and they're great as long as you're near the actual receiver itself. Like, once you get your iPhone or whatever you're using to stream away from the actual base that you're streaming to, or God forbid there's a wall between you, it starts cutting out terribly. And the thing I like about AirPlay is, first of all, it's much easier to set up. You don't have to pair anything. That's good for, like, the moms out there. I know we have some soccer moms listening.
Yeah.
Not that soccer moms aren't good at pairing. I shouldn't say that. There's not as much interference, like, with walls and that type of thing. Like, you can go outside your house. You can go into other rooms. And anywhere you have a Wi-Fi, you still have Wi-Fi signal, it generally works very well. And I've had really bad problems with Bluetooth. Like, sometimes you take devices into the other room, and it just starts cutting out. In fact, this device, I'm not going to tell you what the name of this device is because I'm not finished with my review, but this device I'm using right now is having that problem. It's like, it sounds great, works great when you're within 10 feet. But, you know, as soon as you get, you know, on the other side of a wall, it cuts out terribly.
That's very interesting.
I can tell that you're thrilled by that fact.
Yeah,
both of you guys. That's my gosh.
Thing to talk about I think we've ever discussed on the call.
I doubt that.
AirPlay.
I doubt that.
All right.
Well, let's talk about something more exciting. Let's take a trip to the rumor mill, shall we? We haven't talked about any Apple rumors in quite a while.
I love rumors.
But we actually have some new rumors, and these are credible. And we're getting to that time of year now where we actually might start seeing some more Apple rumors pour out. So these ones have to do with the iPhone 5S and the iPad. We're hearing that iPhone 5S production is ramping up at Foxconn. That has come to us from the highly reliable Mako Takata site that is never, virtually never wrong. Did I say wrong? I meant right. So take that with a grain of salt. But we also heard from Rene Ritchie of iMore that he's expecting to see new devices in April and possibly the summer for the iPhone 5 and the iPad. Buster, you wrote some stories about this, didn't you, or was it Alex?
Dude, I write so many stories, it's hard to keep track.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about these iPhone, iPad rumors?
If they're coming from Rene Ritchie, they're probably solid.
I know, Rene Ritchie actually has a really good track record, right?
Mm-hmm. The rumor is that the iPhone 5S will have a better camera out in August. You know, he didn't really specify on like some other rumors are that, you know, they'll have Apple's going to anodize the iPhone. So they'll actually be different colors.
That's right. Because Apple had posted a listing for I don't even know how to say it. An anodizing engineer.
Right.
So then, you think that they might have different color iPhones?
I don't know if I see that happening, but they could.
I don't either.
You know, they could have multiple colors,
mm-hmm.
like the iPod Touch, except the whole thing's not going to be the same color. The back glass plates will still be black or white. It'll just be that aluminum plate on the black back will be like blue or red if you want.
Really?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be the whole thing. It would be red.
I really hope they don't do that.
I just think it'll look a little bit weird.
So it would look like a clown.
Yeah,
like, with like a white face and like a red back, or like a white face and a blue back.
Yeah, if they
with a wig.
Get rid of the glass plates on the black back, I don't think they'll do it just because it would look a little funny.
Yeah, I don't know. So sorry, continue.
There's also rumors that they're going to do a fingerprint sensor because they bought a fingerprint company or they set up an agreement with them, something like that. I don't know if that one's going to happen either. That one sounds kind of crazy.
That would actually be pretty cool, though, especially if it was like software driven and, you know, like you can just touch your finger to the screen to have it unlock or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That would actually be really cool. Well, how viable do you guys think these rumors are? I mean, so basically Renee is saying that we're going to see an iPad in as early as April, which is what he said. And then iPhones this summer.
Yeah, he's saying the iPad mini, if it comes out in April, the second one won't be Retina, though, because they couldn't do it in time.
Okay.
So, I mean, that sounds – that I would believe that, the April iPad release and then an August iPhone release so that it's closer to the summer instead of all the way in November or October.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't they change
those?
Haven't they changed – they switched up the iPad release schedule, though, to put it on the same, you know, fall – the fall updates – to make it for the holiday season, which because that's where they're getting most of their sales.
I don't think they're going to update the iPad every year, though. I think it's going to be more like every 6 months from now on.
6 months?
But, yeah, which is what they were doing, is because your iPad won't be updated every year like, you know, like the iPhone. It'll be more like the computer because there's not as much crazy stuff that they can get due to the iPad every, you know, year. So they're just going to have incremental updates every 6 months or so.
Incremental being what, though? What are they going to update? The chips?
Yeah, so it would be like, oh, it's going to have more RAM this time or, you know, a faster processor the next time. It will be like an A5, an AX chip. You know, 6 months later, it'll be an A6X or something like that, you know?
That sounds crazy. But
I would be pissed if that I would be pissed if that happened. I mean,
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, that is what happened. The last iPad was updated 7 months. If you listened to any of our previous episodes, you heard me get pissed before, so I'll refrain again. Because I bought the iPad 3, and then 7 months later, the iPad 4 came out.
Yeah, but it wasn't that big of a boost up. It was just like, oh, it's got some better internal specs, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It didn't have like a holographic screen or anything.
That would be pretty awesome, especially if you could reach into the screen and like pull out like a sandwich or something that you're watching. that's the technology I want to see. But so
when's that coming out?
When's that coming out? Apple's not innovating anymore.
No.
What the hell?
Oh.
So I was looking at the it's really confusing to me, all these different release schedules, and Apple has kind of like mixed them all up to kind of throw people off track. So the first three iPads came out in March or April, okay? And then the iPad 4 came out in the fall. I believe it was October. So I mean, it's very viable that we'll see the iPad go back to its normal release schedule.
No, I
mean,
I don't think so.
You don't think it's going to go back to...
The reason it's confusing is because people are putting out all these ridiculous, you know, rumors and these absurd theories about what's going to go on. Like, I think they've gone to a full release schedule, the same, because it's a consumer product. So they want to get the hit the holiday season. You know, like, it's getting long in the tooth. If they, when they updated it in April, by the time the holiday season came around, it was looking kind of old. So I think we just saw them switch it to a, you know, and I disagree with Buster. I think it's an annual schedule, and I think it comes late in the fall.
All right, we'll see who's right this year.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's actually a great argument, Leander. You're right, because it's like, by the time it gets to Christmas time, it's already kind of old, right?
Yeah, right.
And then Samsung will release some POS that they're going to market like crazy as the new hot thing. And then it kind of makes the iPad seem old.
Well, why can't they release an update in April and then another one in November? It still wouldn't be old. You're saying they have to update every year. I don't think that has to happen anymore.
Well, I think they do. You know, they do. They have been, right? And they do. People expect a new device, and I don't think the chip updates are that frequent, are they? I mean, are they really updating the chips every 6 months?
Well, they went from like an A5 to an A5X, so they add like a little bit more speed to it.
Yeah, but they usually did the incremental chip updates like once a year. So they'd go from like the A5 to the A5X. So that would be compressing that timeline to every 6 months.
No, because they would go from A4 to A5, stuff like that with the iPad. But you got to look at the iPad more as like getting updates like an iMac and not like, you know, an iPhone, because it's more of a, it's there to replace an iMac.
The iMac doesn't get updated every 6 months.
Yeah, it should. It gets updated about every 8 months or so.
Yeah, that actually sounds about right, Leander. Like, they do small spec bumps, like when new hardware comes out.
Oh, it's like a small processor spec bump. It'll be like the MacBook Pros, 134 days. iMacs, it's like 200 or plus days between upgrades. But with MacBooks, it's a lot more frequent.
Huh. Interesting. I don't know. I think we might see one this April. Because Apple screwed me already on the last iPad by releasing a new one right after I got it. I think that's their new business model. So every 6 months, they're just gonna spec it up slightly and try to sell you a new one. Although I kind of hope, in my heart of hearts, they stick to the yearly schedule, because I'm kind of getting ready to buy a new iPad. Like, the next one they release, I'll probably buy. I mean, not that my iPad 3 is slow or anything, but, you know, it's not the new hot thing anymore.
Its screen just disgusts me.
Oh, it makes me puke.
Screen.
Yeah.
I need a 4K screen.
I'm looking for that 12K screen with the holographic sandwich ability. That's what I need.
I realized I just don't use my iPad much anymore at all, so I don't care.
Wait, you have the mini, right?
Yeah, I have an iPad mini, and I really just never use it.
Wow.
So,
which version do you have? Is it for sale?
Yeah, it's 32, I think.
Is it white or black?
It's white.
Oh.
So how come you don't use it anymore?
I don't know, because I thought I would use my iPad mini for reading a lot, and the only time I do is like when I go to, like, I don't know, like the movies, and you have to get there an hour early because it's a new release. And so that's the only time I do it, which is like once a month.
Interesting. Leander, do you use your iPad very often?
I use it all the time. It was my full-time computer.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You use it for your full-time computer. I use mine all the time too. I mean, I have a MacBook Pro that I work on, but whenever I'm like, you know, searching for news stories or reading, I use my iPad every day, especially in the bathroom.
Yeah.
See, for, like, I think figuring out
my
hairstyles.
Thing is, the last thing I want to do, like, I'm on my MacBook, you know, 8 or 9 hours a day. Like, the last thing I want to do after I've finished working for the day is like continue be connected to like an Apple device and hang out on my iPad, you know?
I think totally. Well, I mean, also, Buster, you're kind of an analog person, and I mean that in the highest regard. Like, you're like into books. And you like to read books that are made of paper.
Yeah.
And you probably have a nice record collection. Actually, you probably don't. That's John Brownlee probably has. He does have a nice record collection. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for you, like, if you're going to read something, wouldn't you rather just go to the paper edition?
No, yeah. And that's what I thought I would use my iPad for, like, reading digital books. But it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
I still paper.
Huh. Interesting. All right, guys. Well, we need to take a quick break, and I want to tell people about Squarespace. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about this ridiculous statement that John Sculley made. He thinks Apple is experiencing a lull in innovation. Actually, it may not be ridiculous. We're going to see if there's any credence to it. And then we're going to end the show with Faves and Raves, a segment where we pitch our favorite gears and app and tell you which one we like best. So stick with us. We'll be right back. You guys ready for me to tell you about Squarespace?
Dude, tell me.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Squarespace is the sponsor of this week's Cultcast. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Squarespace, the beautiful and intuitive website platform that allows anyone to create professional websites, blogs, galleries of images. In fact, they're really popular with photographers and now online stores. Let me tell you how it works. All you do is head over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for your free account. You don't even need to give them your credit card information. And within mere moments, you will be creating a website from there. They're really beautiful templates that they have set up. You add your images, you add your content, anything you'd like to sell online if you want to set up an e-commerce store. Then you can connect your social media accounts. Boom, you have a fully functional website that looks great on a computer. It looks great on an iPhone. It looks great on an iPad. They automatically scale those templates to look great on any device that is visiting the website. Plus, they've just announced they are doing a whole e-commerce platform now that links seamlessly to all the other parts of their website or the website that you build. And it's really super easy to use. You can sell anything, digital and physical goods, and they give you really painless store management. You can manage your inventory, process customer orders, print packing slips, customize emails, all in one intuitive interface. And plus, you can set up coupon codes, tax rules. And one of the best parts is they don't actually take a cut of your sales. Some of the bigger sites do. So if you sell something for $10, they might want to take 1% of that. Squarespace doesn't do any of that. You pay the flat fee as you would just for a normal website, and then they give you access to all these great e-commerce features, and you keep the money yourself. They have a payment processor integrated in, so you can get started using credit cards and that type of thing. So if you're looking for an easy-to-build website platform, if you need a website for your photography business, if you want to sell digital goods or physical goods online, definitely check out Squarespace. Head over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for the free trial, and if you decide you want to buy, you can use the discount code CULTCAST3 at checkout. You'll save 10% off your order. That means if you order a month of website hosting or a whole year of website hosting, you get 10% off. Plus, if you order a whole year of website hosting, you get a free domain name. Squarespace.com/CULTCAST. The coupon code is CULTCAST3. That's the number 3. And I definitely want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. They are allowing us to bring you excellent content like this show every week. Thank you, Squarespace. Okay, well, let's talk about ex-Apple CEO, John Sculley. He said some things about Apple recently that at first had me raising an eyebrow, and then I was like, you know what? This actually kind of makes a little bit of sense. So let me read this to you guys, and then we can have a short discussion about it. According to ex-Apple CEO John Sculley, what's happening in the Tim Cook years at Apple, he says, is the company is experiencing a lull in innovation and needs to find its next creative leap. Speaking to CNBC Asia, Sculley said, "You have periods of time that are creative leap areas. That's what Apple excels at. It's a creative leap company. In the last 10 years, you've had in technology a creative leap decade. We've seen social media, we've seen 3G, mobile wireless, you've seen companies like Apple, Google, Facebook all doing extremely well. But then you run into a decade like we're just sort of in right now, the fast follower evolution decade," he says. "We're not in a big breakthrough point at this time, but fast followers like Samsung are doing really excellent. What Apple needs is the next era of creative leap." You know John Sculley, Leander. We've talked about him before. What do you think about this?
Snorting some glue or something.
What? Well, I don't think he does glue. I've met him.
He's snorting some glue. It sounded like you said something about Peter Blue. Isn't that award that Johnny just won?
Blue Peter.
Blue Peter. Blue. Sorry. Do you guys think that Apple's experiencing a lull in innovation?
No, not at all.
Because it's kind of been a slow time for them right now. Like, we haven't really had a lot of really exciting rumors.
That's not true, though. The thing is, like, John Brownlee posted a story today about how there's been such Apple's innovation has actually been growing faster. If you look at the iMac, it was 3 years until Apple brought out the iPod. But then between the iPod and the iPhone, it was 5 years before Apple released a groundbreaking product. And then between the iPhone and the iPad, it was another 3 years. And so it's been 3 years since we've had the iPad, which is a pretty short break in between like innovative products. So if they come out with like the iWatch or Apple TV, you know, this year or at the beginning of next, then they're still on that same pace of innovation.
Leander?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think Buzz is exactly right. But it's strange how this perception is kind of dogging Apple now, because people are like, you know, well, where's the next most, you know, science it's fiction ridiculous. Flying car breakthrough?
You can't reinvent the future every year.
No, definitely not. And Apple's definitely not that kind of company. I mean, they tend to iterate. They tend to, you know, improve. On their products, you know, the iMac, the flat screen iMac goes back to what, 2004, 2005 now?
Yeah.
And it's got better and better, and they've introduced a whole host of changes, but it's still sort of recognizably the same iMac that they released, what, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even that much different. I mean, the funny thing about this book now, I'm looking at this, you know, I mean, they started this with a 20th anniversary Mac, which was back in the late 90s. You know, I don't know. You know, like, I don't. I was talking to Bob Bruni yesterday, who was the guy that hired Johnny Ive, mm-hmm. and he was saying the same thing. He was saying that, you know, I asked him, what do you think of Apple's design these days? And he was saying, well, you know, it's like they're going through this kind of this period where they haven't come out with anything really radically new, and they just keep improving all the stuff they've got. And it's, you know, I don't think Apple's ever going to get away from this. I mean, even its old, you know, head designer sort of, and the old CEO is kind of like pointing this out, you know, that they're not, in air quotes, innovating, because they're not coming out with like these weird flablets like Samsung.
Right.
And all these crazy different screen sizes. So it's a strange perception problem that I think they have, but not a real problem. I mean, they're innovating like crazy.
Yeah, you know, I do agree with both of you guys. I think these rumors that Apple's not innovating are silly, honestly. You know, they've come out with so many amazing products. I think in the last 5 years especially, we've watched Apple release these amazing products one after the other, and I think that because we got so many of them grouped in together, it could be a little while before we see that next big product from Apple. But unlike Samsung, unlike a lot of other companies out there, they don't just release something just because they need to release something. Like, I once heard that Coke Japan, so Coca-Cola in Japan, releases a new product every 3 weeks. Because they don't know what's going to sell, so they're constantly releasing a new product just to see what will catch on. They're just literally throwing stuff at the wall. They made a drink called the Water Salad.
Water
that was supposed to be like,
and this is sounds this, gross.
Yeah, it sounds gross, right? But I mean, that's the point: is they don't really know what's going to work, so they're constantly just releasing new products and hoping that something will take off. And Apple doesn't do that. You know, Apple's much more thoughtful on the products that they're going to release. And Tim Cook has said a lot, you know, like, they don't enter a market just because other people are entering that market. They didn't create netbooks. And everyone kept talking about how Apple needed to create a netbook to compete in the netbook market. And it's like, now look at netbooks. They're gone. No one even uses them, nor do we ever talk about them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right,
Apple exactly. went out and created a whole new category of products. Yeah. And now everyone's trying to copy them.
I know. This is what Skull is talking about. And he's kind of right in a way, you know, that we've had all these fast followers, like all these companies have rushed into this space because, like, you know, 3 years ago, the iPad came out. People mm-hmm. were initially skeptical. Now it's completely clear that there's this massive shift going on in personal computing. And even though Buster doesn't use his iPad, you know, anymore, mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's clear that the world has gone mobile. Facebook just redesigned its entire website today, the whole Facebook experience to be, in quotes, mobile first.
You know, really?
This whole newsfeed thing.
I haven't been following the news on the Facebook news today. So they really redesigned their entire website today?
Yeah, the whole experience is to be optimized for mobile.
And interesting.
And this is a company that's a desktop, you know, basically a desktop web company.
Please tell me they got rid of that ridiculous three-column design.
Yeah, it's more – well, it's still three columns, but you have one column that's more pronounced than everything.
Oh, I hate that design. Anyway, sorry, Leander, I interrupted you. Continue.
Well, no, that's it. I mean, you know, we're seeing this massive change in personal computing that's been, you know, only 3 years old, wrought by Apple, and people are complaining they don't innovate. I mean, it's completely mental.
Yeah, it's crazy, and their stock price has been dropping like crazy. But you know, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, the stock market is driven by emotion. It's and we talked about this actually before, Buster, and I think you made a good point about how people react on what they think Apple's going to do rather than what Apple's doing.
Yeah, and the P/E ratio and all that stuff is way, way low. I mean, I think this company, you know, is set to clean up for years to come. I mean, even if they started screwing up really badly and everything went to the wall, it would still take 10 years to unravel.
It would be like Microsoft, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Like they have enough to where they can coast on it for 10 years. You hope they don't, but
Right. And, you know, Microsoft, oh gosh, they're still making the money. They're still making the same money as they always were. They're making tons of money off Office and their operating system. That's the same thing they've been making money off for the last 20 years.
Yeah, but now I think they're starting to feel that pinch. Like, you know, people didn't adopt Windows 8 super fast. People don't care about Office as much anymore. So Microsoft is finally at that point where they're like, oh, now we actually have to do something. Instead of coast on Office for other
computers,
you know.
Oh shoot!
Oh, let's make this crappy Surface tablet with a detachable keyboard.
Man, that's Surface tablet. Oh my gosh. All right, cool. Well, I think we're agreed then. Everyone that thinks that Apple is not innovating needs to be tarred and feathered in the public square. You know, I think Apple's doing a great job, and I love Tim Cook as CEO, as y'all know, and. You know, Apple, they're in a period right now where they're going to be updating the products that they currently have. I think the next big thing, and Leander, you've said this before, I think the next big thing in Apple innovation is going to be software. We're going to see some amazing stuff from Apple in the next, I think, year or two from software. I think iOS 7 has the potential to be really super cool bring along a lot of amazing features. I mean, look at the setup we have now, right? Like, we have iCloud in place. We have all these really excellent Apple devices that work very well. You know, Apple could release a new update to iOS 7 and what are they going to call the next version of OS X? Maybe Thundercat? Is that what we decided?
Yeah. We got a contest running right now, actually.
Oh, do you really? Who's winning?
Oh, I don't know. We just asked people to Photoshop their own OS X 10.9 mascot into it.
I love asking people to Photoshop stuff. I don't know if anyone listening saw our updated Cultcast logo. We asked people to Photoshop Alex Excelsior Heathen because he always gets left out of stuff and his face wasn't in the logo. We got some interesting results. All right, guys. Well, let's wrap up with one of my favorite games and the one that Buster absolutely can't stand. Faves and raves and Buster, take it.
No, I'm not going to.
Leander, take it.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was looking at something else.
I was hoping that we were going to harmonize on that. You guys freaking left me.
I can't sing.
That's all right. That would make it even better. You guys left me hanging, swinging from side to side like Fergie. All right, so this is the game where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. Buster, do you have an epic pick for this week? I think you said you did.
Yeah, I got a pick this week.
Okay. You sound very enthusiastic about it, so I'm excited to hear what you have. What is it, Buster?
It's a backpack from Lowepro. It's called the Photosport 200 AW.
Oh, you know what? What the heck, dude? I think I was going to be reviewing that.
Were you?
Yeah. Photosport 200. I'm looking it up on the internet.
You snuck in there and got it from
you. Got it. That's okay. That's all right. You review it. You just got some new camera equipment too, right, Buster?
Yeah, one of us does hiking. The other one does podcasting. So,
yeah, that's right. And I sometimes podcast while I hike. So how do you like it?
Yeah, it's a great backpack. It's really nice mostly for photographers because if you're out hiking, you don't want to have your camera around your neck the whole time.
Yeah.
But this one, it's got like a little pack, a little pouch on the side.
Yep.
So you can just fling it off really quick. Only half of the pack and pull out your camera really quick and take some pictures and then put it back in and keep going. So it's a lot quicker. It keeps your camera safe.
Is this the one that has the removable pouch on the inside, so you can take like the actual camera bag out of it and just use it as a day pack?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. Did you guys hear that?
No.
Okay, good. I went to LowPro's page and I was looking at the backpack and they have a freaking video immediately start playing. And
it was really super loud.
I was like, oh crap, that's gonna go into the recording. Okay, that sounds awesome, and that's a $149 for those of you interested in the price. Leander, what do you got?
Well, I'm quickly looking it up.
Is it an app?
I can't remember what it's called. No, it's like a pros. It's a Buster reminded me when he was talking about the camera bag that I started using this sling. It's a camera strap. Uh-huh. And it's like one of those pro type ones that where it's instead of it hanging around your neck.
And, is it the black rapid strap?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't remember what it's called though. It's
different company.
Oh, it's not the same company.
I got it from a different company.
Oh, dude, you got to remember the name of it.
Well, I'm looking it up real
quick. Okay, well, while you're looking it up, I'm going to go with mine. Mine's an app. And those of you who have been following me on Twitter, you know I like to keep my body fit at all times. That's one thing I'm really passionate about, a fit body. But I also like to have a fit mind. And there's a way I keep my brain sharp. It's called Fit Brains. It's an app. I believe it's free. And it's pretty cool. You download it from the App Store, obviously. And it presents a bunch of really cool exercises that lets you kind of like keep your brain nimble and keeps your brain on its brain toes. And it's really easy and it's fun. And you know what's weird is like when I do it, I can actually feel my brain heating up. If it's ever happened to you guys, like you're really focused on something and you actually feel your brain getting hot.
No.
Okay. Well, you guys need to do some more brain training. So that's my pick this week because it's free. You can download it right now from the App Store. You don't have to order it like Buster's. And it keeps your brain nimble. And I like cool apps that I can use every day just to kind of improve my life. Okay, Leander.
I'm sorry. I can't find it.
Oh!
So I'm desperately looking at it. Oh, here it is.
It's not the C-loop strap, is it?
No, it's this one here. It's the Black Rapid.
I think I have that same strap.
The one I've been telling you about for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Is it the R7?
Well, yeah. It's good. Well, no, it says it's the RS RS10SC.
Okay.
-1AO Metro Crammer strap.
The Metro Crammer? Oh, that sounds like something you'd be into.
It's a $40 strap and it's actually, you know, it's really good. I like it. It has a quick release mechanism and it's really good for like slinging your camera behind your back. It doesn't slip at all, which is the problem I had with the other one.
Yeah.
It has this big bulky shoulder strap, which is the kind of which I had a little bit of difficulty getting in the right place initially.
Yeah.
But once I figured it out, I'm a big fan of it.
Well, what camera are you using with it?
An Olympus pen.
Oh, your Olympus pen. Okay. Point and shoot. Yeah.
Well, my iPhone.
You tired of toting around your point and shoot?
Yeah. it's for the pen camera.
Gotcha. Okay. And how much does that one cost? You know,
it's $40, and it's about half the price of some of the other competing ones.
Yeah. Did you know they're a local Seattle company?
Oh.
Yeah. Didn't. So I like that about them because I'm from Seattle as well. And I have a Black Rapid strap. It's great. They're one of the best strap makers out there. So okay, there you have it. I've got an app. And then two photography accessories. This is kind of weird. This never happens. So, Buster, I'm going to give you the first vote. Who sounds best?
I guess I have to go with Leander's.
Yeah. with your cool new camera gear that you just bought.
Yeah, I have that strap too, and I like it. So.
Okay. Hey, you know what? For the after show, we should actually have a conversation about your new camera gear.
Oh, okay.
Does that sound cool? Because I want to ask you about it. So, okay, Leander, your vote next.
Can I vote for my own?
No.
Okay, Buster's.
You should vote for the Leander. You should vote for the. Let's be honest. You should probably vote for the brain fitness thing. Your brain's getting a little flabby around the edges.
Yeah.
And I know you had some New Year's resolutions to get your brain in more fit shape.
You're right. I'll go with yours.
Okay.
Oh,
yay. And I'm going to go with Leander's. So does that mean we have a tie?
No, it means Leander won.
Oh, because you voted for Leander's. Dang it. Congrats, Leander.
Babes and raves and babes and raves.
And babes. I should have played the ending there, but oh well, missed opportunity. So there you have it, guys. Those are our favorite picks for this week, and that is all we have. Can you believe the time just flew by, Leander? Didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Because it was so much fun.
It was super fun.
Awesome. So for those of you that didn't know, we were broadcasting this episode live on the internet so people could listen as we were recording it. First time ever that we've ever done that. So I want to thank all the people out there that stayed tuned for the entire episode, the entire two-hour episode, and didn't hang up on us. We are going to try and probably do it in the future, assuming this is going to continue working. And I definitely want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the CultCast this week. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast to start your free trial of Squarespace service. Great, great web host. And if you decide you want to buy, use the code CULTCAST3 at checkout. You'll save 10% off your order. Hey, make sure you are following us on Twitter. We have a great grand old time on Twitter, don't we, guys?
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Grand old time. Leander's L. Caney. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And, of course, Cult of Mac. For all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, it's just Cult of Mac on Twitter. I want to thank everyone for listening. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys
next time.
Next time. We should harmonize that. Next time.
Next time.
I don't think I'd call that harmony. What's the opposite of harmony, Leander? What's
disharmony.
The word? Disharmony. Discord.
I have to run, but you're going to talk about Buster's new camera?
Yeah, so Buster.
Yeah.
You just dropped a big old wad of cash.
I did.
On some camera gear. So tell us what you got.
I got a Nikon D600.
Woo! Hot yeah. Dog. That's their new full frame camera.
Yeah, and then you convinced me that I needed this 24-70mm lens, so I got it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got it like last week. I dropped my tax return on it, and I was like, this is stupid, but
no,
I'm just going to do it. And so, I'm actually happy I did.
Oh, good. So I talked Buster. So, Buster, you've been dabbling in photography for a while.
Yeah, I've had a lot of just mirrorless cameras, though.
Yeah.
Never played with like any full-frame sensor cameras, which is what I really wanted.
And you were trying to figure out what to buy, and we kind of went back and forth about Canon versus Nikon. Mm-hmm. And then you asked me what I recommended, and I recommended Buster buy a 24-70 Nikkor lens, which is like one of their most expensive, nicest zoom lenses.
How much is it?
It's like $1,800, but they were having a $200 rebate the last 2 weeks.
So this was actually a great time to buy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it'll probably never be cheaper because the price on it goes up and down a lot.
It does, yeah. And actually, it went up a while ago, but it hasn't come back down. And I think this is one of the first sales they've had in a long time. So I used to own that lens. I used to be a Nikon guy. I'm using Canon stuff at the moment just because I wanted to try it, honestly, not because Nikon or Canon are either better than one another. Like, I kind of feel like you could take great pictures with either. So, Buster, what's it been like? I mean, didn't you also get a 50mm lens?
Yeah, I got like a cheap like $200 50mm lens when I first bought it. And I really like that lens. But because I take my camera out hiking and I usually do outdoors stuff. So getting a zoom lens with it was actually a good idea for it. But yeah, I really like it. I really thought about getting a Canon, what is it, a 6D? And I have all of my friends actually have Canon cameras and they're like, you need to get a Canon so we can share lenses, which would have been a good idea, but
yeah,
I felt like I'm happy with the purchase of the 600 just because it's a little bit a better build. Also, it's got like weatherproofing, so like for hiking I feel like it's a better camera for me.
Is that what swung you then, that sort of better weatherproofing?
Yeah, like the better weatherproofing, plus it's just a better camera for $100 cheaper too. From all the reviews I've read, everybody says it's a little bit better.
Yeah, I think so. Canon and Nikon both released a entry-level full-frame sensor camera, And I was reading through the specs, and I was like, oh man, the Nikon one looks much better than the Canon one, not even a little bit better.
Yeah,
it had a better build quality, had more focus points, and it has a flash, right?
Yeah, I think even Brian Lamb at Wirecutter said that he would go with the D600 over the 6D. I think so. I was like, yeah, it's a better all around camera. It's just lenses will be harder for me to get because my friends all have Canons.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing about lenses. I've when I own Canon or Nikon stuff, I had probably four lenses that I owned. Uh-huh. That 24-70 never came off my camera.
See, yeah, and I think the only other lens I really need to buy is like a fisheye lens for like when I'm inside canyons and can get like a bigger picture of like the whole slot canyon.
Yeah,
like both walls. That's the only other lens I think I really need, which isn't expensive. So,
yeah, and you can always rent lenses. Like a lot of people don't realize that renting a lens is really cheap. You can rent a $2,500 lens for $30 usually for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
At least at my local camera store, like a lot of times they charge $30 a day, but a lot of camera stores will rent you the lens for the entire weekend if you pick it up late on a Friday. So if you go after like 3 p.m. at my local camera store, you get the lens all weekend until Monday morning for $30.
Yeah, and we have a great camera shop too just down the street from here that does that. So with some fisheyes and other lenses, I'll probably just rent them out.
Well, since you just got this new camera, you're probably figuring out how to use it. And there are probably other people out there that are trying to figure out how to use their cameras as well. Do you have any questions maybe that I could answer for you that might help you out?
Do I have questions for you?
Like on how to use it.
Are you ever going to shut up? That's what I'm going to ask.
Okay, Leander, you go. You carry the conversation, Leander. Let's. I'll just be quiet. Go ahead. Whenever you're ready.
Well, I was going to, you know, how does it compare to the Holoclip on the iPhone? Because that's what I've been using recently, and I think that's a great little setup.
You know what? I still carry my iPhone around with me everywhere, and when I go, I actually like the Holoclip because I was using that 50 millimeter lens, and there were some times where I was like too close to something, so I would bust out the Holoclip instead. But I lost my Holoclip skiing a couple weekends ago, so now I have to have just the Nikon all the time.
Was that the iPhone 5 version?
Yeah, I was like on a ski lift and I freaking dropped it.
Really? It fell 50 foot into the snow?
Yeah, luckily I held on to the iPhone though.
Yeah.
But wow. You know, I like having the full frame sensor. I think is like a big like step up for me coming from just iPhone and then also like a Sony NX7. So it's a pretty big difference, I think.
Yeah.
Leander,
are you using it to post up on Instagram?
There's a couple photos that I've used.
Hey, remember what with Hart said? That's cheating.
It's not cheating. I don't care. Like I know people say like, oh, you can't do that. It's iPhone only. But that's I have respect for guys that only do iPhone photography. But you look at like Nat Geo's account, and none of those are iPhone only pictures.
They have an Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I mean, you know, I do take iPhone shots too a lot of time, but if I captured it on my Nikon instead of my iPhone, I don't think there's anything wrong with posting it on Instagram.
Have you done any editing using your iPad?
I don't use the iPad. I feel like the apps are just as good as on the iPhone. Plus, I don't have the Retina display, so everything looks like pixelated when I edit it on the iPad.
Okay.
So I actually listened to the podcast, and I was surprised I use a lot of the same stuff that With Hearts does.
Right, but you use it on the iPhone. I just wonder whether the editing experience on the iPad would be better, because, I mean, you hear people...
If you have a Retina iPad, I think definitely.
Yeah, because people love using iPhoto on the iPad. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that it's better than doing it on the computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think just because you're getting to touch like your pictures and everything, I think that editing on an iPad is a lot funner. Plus, you got Photoshop Touch now too.
I haven't actually tried that.
I haven't tried that either. How do you like it?
It's fine. I mean, it's like I think it's more like Photoshop 3 or CS3, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like as far as you know, you can do some really basic stuff. Nothing crazy.
So how are you getting your? I'm assuming you're shooting in RAW on your Nikon, right?
Yeah.
How are you getting your raw photos from the camera to Instagram?
Like, usually my process will be like, I'll take a bunch of pictures and then I'll just upload them onto my computer and then I'll go through and, you know, I take a ton of pictures and then I'll just find like a couple that I think might be good on Instagram. And then I'll just put those in Dropbox and then pull those from my iPhone out of Dropbox onto my camera roll and then go through and edit those ones that I think might be good. And then usually just choose one of them to post on Instagram.
How are you converting your raw images to JPEGs? Because you obviously can't put a raw image on your iPad.
Just use iPhoto.
Oh, really? It processes raw images?
Yeah.
The iPad version does?
No. Just on my computer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't put it straight on the iPad or iPhone.
But you're editing actually on your iDevice.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. And I know last week, one of the things that we talked about with Corey, aka Withhearts, was his editing process. So you're saying you use some of the same apps. What kind of apps do you use the most, and what settings do you actually change?
You know, I used to use like the drama filter a ton on mm-hmm. Snapseed.
Yeah.
And I've gotten away from that because I realized how crappy it makes photos look. It really depends on the photo. So a lot of times I'm at least going into details and sharpening it a bit and adding structure because those really help. And then I'll go into tune image on Snapseed and adjust like brightness, ambiance, and contrast and saturation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I'll go out of Snapseed and I'll try filters like using Afterglow or VSCO, or there's a new one called Wood Camera that I've tried playing around with but haven't found anything I like. So I'll just try using filters from those apps and then uploading them to Instagram after I've tweaked it in Snapseed first.
Do you ever use the selective adjustments in Snapseed?
Yeah. If you want to like, you know, like a person's face, like the lighting was a little bit, you know, like it was dull, or, you know, you need to brighten it up or saturate it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do that. Mostly just to try and even something out if there's something off with it.
Interesting. Mm. Cool. Well, guys, that's all I got.
Okay.
That's it. Do we have anything to add before we wrap up here?
Burritos.
Oh, I love burritos. Leander, you're probably dying for a burrito right about now.
I was just seeing if I could nip out and get one while like.
Oh, you don't have to nip out, do you? Jeez.
Well, there's a burrito place right across the street, so I can I could probably go over and get it and then come back by the time you two are still talking.